There we go.
Yeah.
We're on. 3:15.
A quorum.
Not quite a quorum.
So we have no public comment, it appears. Any announcements?
I guess I have a couple announcements related to wildlife. So I did forwarded the letter from the committee requesting a one-year extension to Dana Brown Davis, who's the clerk for the primary administrator for council. So she actually went ahead and drafted up this draft ordinance. Essentially, you can see since the wildlife committee is codified, we actually have to go. So it has to be an actual ordinance to change the code.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, that kind of gives the explanation for why we're requesting an extension. And then the only thing that changes in the code is the year of term of office. So,
thank you.
I was trying to read through it. There was one minor word change I was going to recommend, but other than that, it looks fine. And if it gets in on time, I will go and present this to council next Tuesday, I believe, and then for introduction, and then it gets approved 2 weeks following that. So I think July 12th would be when it would get approved,
okay,
if it gets approved. So I'll just keep you guys in the loop as that moves forward. But so that is rolling. The other big one. I have too many layers on here, so I'm going to try zooming in a little bit if it'll wake up. So I did something else you guys asked me to do, or actually I guess I didn't do it. Our our primary GIS person did the hard work. Let me just pick an area. Let's just see how this looks. So we digitized the wildlife folio.
Ooh.
Oh, cool.
Very nice.
And it's actually, I can show you. And so we have all of these. Maybe I'll go to the coastal, because that's actually where you can see a lot more. But essentially, we have a lot more information. I can turn off the text parcel layer. I have a hard time with GIS because I feel like I'm loading so many different data sets on here that it becomes burdensome. Tax parcels. And actually, the other thing that I did that I guess no one had done in the county is I downloaded a shapefile from the USDA for the entire county. We've always just used Western Whatcom as our...
Oh.
So we didn't even have a satellite imagery for the rest of the county.
Just doesn't exist.
Yeah. All right. So I guess whenever we turn that off. Man, this is slow. And by the way, I did make extra coffee if anyone needs more coffee.
Oh, I heard fucking nice.
Okay, so that's with our existing Department of Fish and Wildlife and existing critical areas. And if we add all of this on there, it won't respond.
It's too much information.
This is really where I'm starting to. I'm actually going to try to request an intern at some point, because it's almost like the. It looks really pretty. I mean, it's challenging with the wildlife map now, because it's like the whole county has something to be able to dig down a little deeper.
Have an intern. You could use afterwards.
Oh, yeah? A good one?
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, then it looks one way up on the screen, and then you print it or something, it's like, oh, those are all the weird colors coming from.
So.
No, that's really nice.
That's great.
And one thing, yeah, I've noticed initially is that the actual wetland layers are much, much broader. So I feel like the 94, they actually map kind of these larger wetland complexes. It's just kind of a large area compared to our current kind of like spot wetlands.
Yeah, I wonder where that is. What data that came from then?
Well, there was a, I think it was like a 95 or 6 wetlands in the floodplain of the Nixack River study that actually mapped those out.
But that would have been, yeah, that one would have been after the foliage was produced. It was produced in 1894.
I know, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to remember. Yeah, that was, mm-hmm. that was part of those. But,
so,
let's see, I don't know how. Back then, I don't think there was a GA. I don't know if there was a GIS layer for the wetlands in the floodplain.
Yeah, a lot more detail on shorebird nesting, seabird nesting, mm-hmm. black brant, diving birds. So.
And remember, that's now how old? 22
well,
years?
It's old, right.
22 years.
I can't say that it's all accurate, but it's.
Yeah, something.
It was
I mean, how it plays into that conversation of how we identify habitat, you know, habitat that's currently used versus habitat that could potentially be used.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This definitely helps kind of frame, like even 20 years ago, this was mapped as this habitat.
Right.
Yeah, it was done really quite well back then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that folio was good information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I guess just be aware that we have that information now, so once we move a little further down the road, we can dive deeper, and even that one idea we'd had about picking a few sites and trying mm-hmm. to dig deeper into it.
Mm-hmm. And then, I also just trying to figure out if there's any kind of natural corridors other than like river systems or creeks and that sort of stuff. There may be some, but we have that, there's the elk corridor, that's one.
Mm-hmm.
But there may be some, and the Anastasia had suggested a 10-mile creek corridor.
Right.
Should be interesting to look at. And of course, Chuck and Corey, we'll see. We put this stuff down and see. We'll find out there's some information here and there's no information over there, you know, kind of thing. So how do we fill the gaps?
Yeah.
Just identify them, I guess.
Definitely paints a little bit of a different picture.
Yeah.
That's good.
Looks like there's stuff everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much.
Some of the stuff is seasonal. So for activities that make me a difference. Although the habitat will still be there.
Right. I mean, if they need the habitat at some point of the year, so you need to still make sure it's there when they get there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
that's really neat. Good job.
Yeah, now we have that to play around with.
So to get to have access to it, we have to come in here and sit down with you, basically.
Or can you share that layer?
It's all been publicly released, so I don't know why I couldn't share.
Yeah, it is public information.
So yeah, if you guys want access to it, just let me know, and I'll find a way to share it.
Put on a CD, probably. It's going to be, should be fairly big.
Pretty big. Yeah, I think Dropbox would get overloaded pretty quick.
Yeah.
But maybe not. I can.
Yeah.
And you want it or?
Yeah, I would like.
I would definitely like it. Yeah. Because I'm starting to look at it.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things you kind of got to dig into a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
And be able to really see what the key is and.
So
the layers on and off and see how things overlap.
Yeah.
If you go to, let's say, band-tailed pigeon, and. Can you find, can you right click something and get to the database? I mean, to the metadata? There we go. Does it tell the source?
No. Map number 3. This is where actually, if we had the hard copy, wildlife folio, it's probably referenced in there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Sarah just did the first shot at actually uploading the data, and we could still attach more metadata to it.
Right. Yeah, because
Anne was involved with this, I think.
Yeah, I was a grant officer.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember about the metadata. Mm-hmm.
I know Steve Fox did a lot of the stream work and fish work.
Right.
This is where I moved to the full county satellite imagery.
Because that's quite a job, but to look at those layers and say, okay, well, is there a current banded tail pigeon distribution map?
And that one's old enough.
Department of Fish and Wildlife still has them on their PHS. So I can.
But
I don't know that. You might be able to search and have that layer pull up on PHS.
Yeah,
I think the ones mapped in here were the mineral deposit areas that they frequent.
Right.
So it wasn't just where they are across the county, it was their concentration areas.
Right. Mm. Yeah, that's right. In fact, it's described in the printed report.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. These are the starting point.
No, it's good, yeah. Otherwise, in the hard form, it's really hard to integrate it. And as Joel said, sit there and flip back and forth and see what's overlapping and see the critical pathways here. Which, of course, are long riparian areas, but they're important.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Sarah's pretty excited. Okay.
Just getting that done is a nice step forward, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Yeah.
We're actually starting to get into the technology of, 15 years ago? Upgrade.
Yeah, I'll be excited to finish up our committee recommendations and try to dive back into the ecosystem report.
Yeah. That'll be really interesting if we start to look at some of the farmlands. If there's potential conflict or places that we can enhance both kinds of things.
Yeah.
And the parks, public lands, private reserves, mm-hmm. You know, how that all lines up. I just want to note, I think on this, our minutes, you know, you've got an asterisk by protect members, I think. But I don't think it says it here anymore.
I think I had it on our original one, but not anymore.
Ah, okay.
I can make that note back
there.
Again.
Yeah, so if someone's looking at this, they don't send
it. Yeah. Okay. Are there any other comments on the minutes? I know we can't approve them today.
We can't approve them,
but no. They look fine. That's the first glance, anyway.
You know,
We
didn't have a quorum for our June 6th meeting. And I tried to start writing notes, and we didn't really decide anything. We were just going through Article 7.
Right.
And I don't know.
Probably your notes are what we put in the comments in the document.
You just referred to what those are.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, at least a note that we met and kind of quorum.
Okay. So are there anybody else that's made comment?
Not since the last time, yeah.
So we don't have to backtrack.
No, I'm trying to remember where we left off. Yeah, we were inserting natural plant areas. Oh, this was So I think this is kind of towards the end of where we left off last week, yeah. So, species of local importance. This is probably a pretty good area for us to think on how we want to approach that. And I mean, it's almost putting us in a contrary spot, though. I mean, if we're writing into the critical areas ordinance that we're going to develop, review, and advise the species of local importance, but we're only requesting a one-year extension on our committee ship.
Can you come back and make it a permanent committee if at the end of a year and whatever results we have, if the results are that an ongoing committee should be present to provide guidance on these kinds of items?
Does that make sense?
Possible?
Yeah, and that's totally fine, I think. Yeah, I mean, as far as the getting the committee extended, that should be no big deal. I guess I was just wondering if we're trying to insert language into the critical areas ordinance,
it might not
pointing towards more of a long-term committee.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change what we're requesting from council at all as far as committee timeline? Is there some other way we can word it?
I mean, word the comment here or change what we're requesting at the county, the council?
Well, I mean, I think the one-year extension makes
sense.
I mean, that's kind of what we agreed on and voted on last time, so yeah. I don't want to necessarily go back on that. But I guess for this comment, is there some way that we can essentially, you know, encourage some committee to review species and habitats of local importance, or if the Wildlife Advisory Committee still exists at the time of...
A Wildlife Advisory Committee or similar, I don't know, somehow leave it open for...
Just an ad hoc committee?
Yeah.
You could just say a committee will develop and review.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A committee appointed by the county council or somebody.
Council approved.
Yeah.
So here, Department of Planning and Development Services shall maintain a current list as designated by county council. As recommended by an advisory committee.
Yeah.
Joel, do you have time?
No.
Okay. Now, is it going to be species and habitat of local importance?
I'd say, well.
This is specifically for the list of species.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That section would be.
Right, so we have habitats below that.
Yeah.
I think there's habitats and.
Now there's species and habitats locally, important species and habitats that have a recreational, cultural, and/or economic value. Is there any other values?
Aesthetic. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I almost wonder if this is another good opportunity to insert something about ecosystem health. I mean, like recreation, I mean, cultural kind of captures that, but not as explicitly. And maybe that one's not even worth.
Ultimately, a healthy ecosystem is good for the economy, but.
Because the recreational, cultural, scientific, and or economic value. Scientific will kind of cover various aspects, whether it's used for medicine or used for...
just put, ecological value.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that'd be great.
Ecological would work. So that's actually probably better, a little broader. Mm-hmm. Good job, Chris.
Greens are color. So our last recommendations were in, so we'll stick with it. Okay, department shall maintain a current list of local importance as recommended by an advisory committee. Okay. As of 2016, the list includes, I guess at this point, are there any other species that we would recommend including? Do we want to go that route, or are we just going to leave it as is for now?
Well, since we don't really have a process, that's kind of a difficulty, unless you guys know.
No, I would hesitate to put anything in at this point.
Yeah.
We'd want to go through a process.
But listen, can you think of one? Or?
No, my brain was almost going towards, this could be an opportunity to insert, a reference to the ecosystem report and using that as potentially a vector for helping identify, but.
Well, no, yeah, but you don't, that doesn't really need to be spelled out that way.
No.
I mean, in a way, it's kind of, we'll see if we get the advisory committee, it's still the advisory committee, or.
In theory, the advisory committee's main task is going to be updating, maintaining that report.
Yeah.
Recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just kind of roll it in.
Yeah.
How about Habitat? Do we have the same kind of thing for Habitat and?
You can say something, Joel?
No, so, I mean, further down in the document, there is a section on how to basically amend the list.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we were going to suggest anything to add to the list,
mm-hmm.
we should roughly follow what the requirements would be for anybody else to add something to the list.
Right.
And it's kind of, it's got some beefy requirements. And some, I mean, it requires some science behind why these species are on the list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess just for a little context, there was a lot of discussion about this during the, I guess, the advisory review, citizen and technical review of the actual CAO document.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't really figure out why the species were listed that were currently listed and what additional protections were offered because of them being on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, part of the section about putting something on a list specifically says that as part of getting it on a list, you got to have some sort of management plan or some guidance for the county staff, for PDS,
mm-hmm.
about how to actually protect these species. And there's not anything currently in there
right.
associated with the species that are listed.
Well, I just, yeah, I never got that to the next step, basically.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. several, like the longfin smelt, that was one I really wanted to have on there because they're limited just about up to about Ferndale. They spawn on the beaches there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're anadromous also. And they're unique to the river, to this river. Each one's unique to its own river because
right.
they only go about 25 miles in the marine environment. And you come back in and freshwater spawn. And probably because that's where the salt water used to go, was right up by Ferndale there, by the I-5 bridge.
Right.
So, and I knew that. I read just what had been published on it. And so, you know, that's why I recommended we put them on as a local important species. But of course, never, you know, just getting the CAO adopted was hard enough.
Right.
To get, start going back and looking at, okay, let's go look through the species. Well, that'd be fun. I've always wanted to get a grad student or something to just study them. Because alumni have told me several times there's an early run, and then there's a later, bigger one run in like in November. There's a couple days.
Yeah.
And they'll go down and net them out. Because it used to be a really big food source for them.
Fish fry.
Yeah. But anyway, and they still come in, so. But you know, no one's really tracked where they're spawning.
Really.
Exactly, they kind of general
yeah.
know the sandbars up there. So that would be, you know, you could take that as an example and say, okay, here's the things we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it's a red flag for if someone's going to have a development right by the I-5 bridge. Here's something you need to look at.
Right.
And yeah, that's about all it does at this point. And even though I don't know if it's, I don't think we've mapped kind of the extent. I think it's in the literature though that's about as far as they go up. It's about right above who Vander Park is the other one. Vander Yacht Park.
There's one north of the bridge.
Yeah, north of that.
Main Street
upstream. Bridge. Yeah, upstream of the I-5 bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Behind there.
Yeah.
Right north.
Yeah. They go that far.
And so they don't go to the I-5 bridge.
No, they go past the I-5 bridge.
Yeah. Okay.
Up to the next little yacht. Right. I thought it was Vander Yacht Park there. So next one on the corner there, going upstream.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. That,
so the next, yeah.
Yeah, because the Lummies told me that. It's some old timers.
Well, if that's an example of, so it would not be able to be accepted, well, I guess maybe we can talk about it when we get down further, but we don't have a management plan
no.
available for it. We can't put it down as a species of local importance. Because that's one of the requirements is it has a management plan.
I don't think
well,
so.
I think that that's...
Not in the growth management.
See,
well,
the other ones don't have one either.
Right.
No.
Well, I guess...
There you go.
I mean, in section D, it talks about
what
it takes to get on the list, to add something to the list by somebody in the general public.
Okay.
Yeah.
so they would have to come with
right.
that species and a proposed management strategy.
Right.
But
the ones that
it
are
could
on?
Be draft, I guess. I mean, so it doesn't say that it has to be specific. It says conceptual in
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
At least somebody wrote in conceptual.
Right.
I don't know if that's right.
Well, and that's actually true, because a lot of times you don't know, there's not enough science. We know it's there
right.
in this area.
Right.
We know there at this time of the year, because of the history and everything
mm-hmm.
else, and that's about all you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
right. And you could go in with just, you know, normal riparian setbacks
right.
and things of that order as your conceptual strategy
right.
for this time and let it evolve when
yeah.
more science is known.
Special consideration.
It does seem...
siltation.
It seems wrong not to allow them to a species to go on the list if you can't come up with some management strategies, because some we just don't know something about. We know they're in trouble. We know that
right.
they're only here.
Well, that's what triggers SEPA.
Yeah.
So species of local importance.
Mm-hmm.
And if they know you're in the area and you're proposing something, well, you got to figure out
some
what's the interaction there.
Right.
You know, whether you're granted or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I would leave the ones that are in there, but those would be good ones just to follow up on right away. Because some of those were listed in the other document, the osprey and the turkey vulture.
Yeah, they were in the folio
yeah.
as well, which I think is because they were already listed as an important species. Back
the,
when the folio was being developed, they
yeah,
were already
right.
indicated to be locally important.
But it was in a WW document, I think.
PHS, I think Osprey or PHS.
That might be where it was.
But the turkey vulture.
Turkey vulture, I don't think it is.
They were both listed as something. I'll have to put up and but that's the only place
yeah,
I can.
Yeah, I mean, they end up in funny
right.
spots on the folio, like Northwest Drive between I-5 and Northwest, in the forested
right.
area that's in there right across
right.
from Cornwall Church.
Right.
Back in there, there's a polygon for turkey vulture.
Oh, really?
Which seems very
that's not where
odd.
Are.
All I can think of is somebody
yeah.
saw them
somebody
roosting
them.
There,
yeah.
you know, some night or something,
yeah, yeah.
and it maybe occurred there a number of times doing that. But
that's where the metadata would be.
Right, yeah. So I've always wondered about the turkey vulture layer. I think I asked Anne Eisinger about it. And I think it was just, you know, observations.
Yeah, yeah.
Still that interesting part of, it's feel like, if you have a stand of tall cottonwoods, then you have this habitat that can be used by the bald eagle and the turkey vulture and
a lot of things use them. Yeah,
sure.
But
some are real specific though to birch trees or cottonwoods. That's the only thing.
Turkey vultures can use somebody's back porch. And
right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not too specific.
No, they're not, and they move around.
Yeah.
Over.
And then you're going to see them more. Of course, they spend more time. A little more open areas usually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, along the freeway now.
Yeah,
a lot of dead stuff.
Yeah.
I went to the DNR, they had another recreation advisory committee meeting last week. I went to, and they had the presenter from the DNR who was overseeing their marbled murrelet strategy, some other word in there. But they said that now, this is interesting with the habitat piece, because now they're finding marbled murrelets basically nesting in areas that they didn't expect them to nest previously. It's like,
cool.
If there's less habitat available, then they're adapting slightly.
Like what couple kinds?
Still not very many of them.
Still forested, yeah. They're still up in trees, but...
Not just be, oh, not all old growth.
But not necessarily old growth.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, one tree now, which is... branches 4 inches in diameter
were
the trigger point. So it didn't necessarily have to be old, but if you had branches of 4 inches in diameter, that was a potential.
Yeah, it's in for platform trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
just a little
PA stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
It kind of scooted forward.
Yeah. Well, we're still at the habitat. Section.
So how does a person says, okay, I just found a special habitat, I want to get it on our
same list.
Same procedure.
But does it say that?
Yeah, this in order to nominate an area, species, or corridor.
Okay, yeah.
Demonstrate the need for special consideration based on.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's good.
So yeah, it's still a pretty hefty list to.
So, Vicki, if you let's say the Oregon spotted frog wasn't federally listed, and we wanted to make it locally listed, could you demonstrate all that?
For that one, I think probably yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seems like you should be able to.
Tailed frog.
It should be a biological.
Doesn't have any protection right now.
Biological value, I guess. Okay.
And I mean, I guess the other thing, all this text on the side here, these are Wendy's comments on all this. Trying to get the list of local habitats codified.
Does it say you have to call county? She says that. What reason exists to make people call planning to find out about a listed habitat? Oh, I see. Maintain if available. Well, in theory, that's all going to be in GIS. And someday the county will have an interactive map, right? Public access.
Next century.
I can't say anything when we're on the record, but
yeah. That would be just really useful.
It would
save a lot of counter time.
I'm trying to push it for it from the inside because yeah, it's shocking to go to other counties, but even Skagit County has like a fully interactive.
Yeah. So City of Bellingham.
Yeah. Oh yeah, go to their GIS webpage and look at all this stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
I have to think it saves staff a ton of time.
Well, I mean, it's just the value to the property owners has got to be incredible. Mm-hmm. The fact that they can just go there and do their own research ahead of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's
no where they stand.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually do their own research before coming and dealing with it.
Yeah, or buying that piece of property or whatever. Right. Yeah, you know, what they're getting into.
Yeah, hopefully we're less than a decade away from that.
I hope so.
Okay, so now she's on this test. Oh, so.
You're not compelled to GMA. Basically saying that we should, at a minimum, include all of the priority habitat and species habitat that is locally important? We've already done that in the code, though.
I don't understand what that achieves in the code. How does that make it different or add protection under the code?
I can't quite read.
Any natural resource staff still have to double check the PHS before doing anything anyway. So getting them listed, I mean, so far being locally important doesn't even mean anything that we're aware of. So.
Which was like that was one of the main issues with this section, is what does it actually mean? What extra protections are actually offered by this list of locally important? And it doesn't lay it out in the code, and it doesn't give staff any direction. It's just kind of a spot that says these are locally important, but it doesn't say what you're going to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't know where to go from there. There was originally suggestions to remove the species because we didn't know what the benefit was.
Yeah.
But it does flag them for CEPA, basically. So here's an area that's been identified for certain kind of long-term smells. And then the staff, but then the staff should have a bit of, we were talking before about the staff having the ability.
Species isn't a CEPA trigger, though. Land use changes are CEPA.
Right. Yeah, so someone's coming in and they're out there and put something on the shore, well, because it's a shoreline, but let's say it's not a shoreline stream, an area that is an area that you've identified that important for the local species, you know, let's say, something you should use.
Turkey vulture.
Which one?
Turkey vulture, yeah.
Turkey vulture, okay. Then the staff can say, okay, under CEPA, this is a local, this triggers looking at this a little closer and find out, okay, where are these turkey vultures, you know, what's the background on them, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Then you may have to mitigate by having a buffer or not going in there at a certain time of the year or whatever it is.
You have to put a dead cow out every week.
Pardon?
A dead cow out every week for turkey vultures.
Yeah, but I guess there's no basis for the county to make a decision on whether a management plan or a proposed mitigation action is actually going to offset any impact, because there's not any guidance about how, what the buffer should be, how
that's,
it's going to impact.
Well, yeah, that's true of a lot and beyond right. The species of global importance. We have that consistent problem
with PHS
throughout there, and they've adopted protection for those under the county code, but staff basically, if there's no management plan at this point,
it's just a nod.
Uh-huh.
You just have to have
right.
It in your CAO report.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but it's not exactly because under CEPA, if this goes for something, you've got some standard review there, and you can say, okay, we talked to our Audubon folks, we looked at what their experience is, we talked to other experts about it. Here's what we're recommending, a 50-foot buffer on this side of the roosting area, whatever it is, or something like that. And, you know, if that's the best you got, it's at least you're addressing the impact.
And that's essentially what critical areas is asking to do. So if there is a species that's not, you know, doesn't have a management plan, they'll ask somebody, a biologist, to investigate that and present something. But it may be.
It's a literature review.
You wouldn't be able to do that arbitrarily. Just because it was on a list, there would have to be something stated that it would, that being on the list triggers that action, right?
No. If it's listed as a species of local importance, then through CEPA, you're certainly allowed to have conditions, mitigation, whatever, just to that. But some buildings are exempt from CEPA.
Like single-family homes.
Those won't be covered at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's if an issue. You'd have to come back and kind of revise your code. So, okay, chainsawing in this area, you don't need a shoreline permit or a building permit or anything else, but it's clearing, so you may need clearing. But if you're doing less than a little bit, minimal amount, maybe that should be covered in a management plan eventually.
Well, what are you telling anybody if you're doing
it? Yeah, no, you've got to crash and retreat. Well, the other thing is we talked about staff having the ability, if they discover something, to be able to hold it till they get gathered information. Because right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, you find out there's a turkey vulture's nest or something. But then you're still under the gun to get these things tracked through the permitting system, timeline. There's appeals and all that sort of stuff. But if you need to get someone to verify it is some turkey vulture nest and it's being used or has been used recently, you should be able to kind of pause the thing. And you can do that in your CEPA, but if it's not a CEPA, so that's about the best thing I can suggest.
Well, there's not a clock on a normal permit review period going through the county, so for...
They're
not. They've been held up by wet season checks for septic or wetlands, or so it might take a season or a year to get through that whole process.
Yeah. Or wetland
foundation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay, if your code had a ticker on it. Some of them do.
Mine does.
Yeah, the county doesn't.
The county does not. No. Well, the thing that the county doesn't have, which I suggested they put, is in the sunset clause in their
permits that they issue. Some of these suckers are 25
years old.
Like, everything's changed, and they still, I mean, for subdivisions, that's one thing, although even for those, they should be sunset clause, you gotta update. If you haven't done something in 5 years, especially for like industrial, big commercial things,
yeah,
give it a break. Because it's just a pain in the ass to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So based on all that, do we have any specific comments here, or is it kind of still framed up roughly?
Well,
okay?
I'm a little confused what she's actually saying. Is she saying that she's making reference to you can choose between designating PHS species or species of local importance? Is she saying that Whatcom County has chosen not to do PHS, which my understanding is above we've already designated PHS species as being covered?
Yeah, it's, I mean, PHS still dings up as a habitat conservation area, so it's getting
right.
the same protection as a species of
right.
local importance.
And so this is yeah. intended to be the stopgap on those species that are not federally state listed or PHS species.
Yeah, so yeah, basically it needs the science to show that you're going to exclude things that are known to be endangered, threatened, damaged, whatever.
Yeah.
Just do the science to show why you're excluding them.
Mm-hmm.
Still, probably can still exclude them. But it seems to me we've got it all covered here. All we need is to add our process, and you know, it has to be certainly scientific. Something
mm-hmm.
scientific anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I think she's also saying that this process here, indeed, the burden of proof is more than what it should be to get additional species.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think it should be particularly easy because you have a lot of interesting submissions, I think, otherwise.
I mean, I think if you're going to put a species on the list, I mean, I think it's got to be in decline. It's got to have sensitive habitat. It's got to have, you know, the cultural and local importance. And then you got to come up with a conceptual way of how you're going to deal with it.
Yeah. River otter. And a scientific reason decision.
River otter is, personally, a big one for me. Just because I think they've been eliminated from the mixed site grading.
Really?
I've never seen one. And I've floated the river a lot.
I've seen one.
River otter.
I've seen them at 10 Lake.
I've seen them at Whatcom Falls Park.
I saw one
yeah,
chased by a crow a couple weeks ago when the tide was out at Adden Lagoon.
Oh, really?
He was hopping along and this crow was chasing him. And he was trying to get to the other side so he could jump in the water.
It was
really funny.
Right? The harbor a lot.
Anyway, that'll be maybe our first nomination.
There you go.
Some science.
Well, this is kind of an
example
of what they could. And
they're such a happy species. Oh, they make you so happy. Unless they poop on your boat. Glad it's not my boat that's taking it out on
right
now.
Okay.
Well, not to stir things up. I mean, it's just a thought. I was like, what if you want to delist something?
Well, that's what they. This just. The Planning Commission
mm-hmm.
just inserted this.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
No longer need.
I don't like that at all.
So does that mean that species is extirpated from the area, then it could be removed?
No reason to protect it anymore.
Yeah.
Or suddenly we have river otters on every doorstep.
Yeah.
And then we no longer need it.
Absolutely.
We'd all agree.
Then there is the idea of restoring the population just because they
But if you only
that's
have
reasonable.
Half the time you think they've been eliminated, then someone finds one, like the ivory woodpecker, or the burrowing apples in eastern Washington. All of a sudden,
proof of extirpation.
I think it'd be more likely to remove them from the list if they are recovered to sufficient
recovered,
level.
Rather than
removed.
Yeah,
the other way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm more worried about habitats and corridors, actually. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Trail standards is another Wendy comment.
Wait, so did we, on the last one, about removing species habitats, are we just against it, that policy?
I don't, I think it's reasonable to have a clause in there that does allow the removal of a species.
Right, mm-hmm. It is scientifically.
Mm-hmm. Sound.
Qualified professionals.
Yeah.
You could, sort of qualified scientific professionals or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't rely on WFW as... because you know, we don't have them for some of these local species, so.
So qualified professionals allows for a variety of different, doesn't have to be different
yeah.
All that.
Right.
No longer needed to provide protection above and beyond that afforded by scientifically derived management strategies, or something along those lines.
Yeah, I guess that could work.
Science-based or science?
Yeah,
science-based would work. Sure. Department of Wildlife or science-based?
I can't vote for that. I don't think it really makes too much of a difference. They remove any of these from the list that can be shown that there's no longer any protection above and beyond what we say there needs to be.
And in a lot of cases, you don't have one.
Yeah, what's your main
point? And then in species and habitats of local plants that are not regulated elsewhere, regulate elsewhere in the chapter. Not regulated. We don't regulate a lot of stuff. We just have management guidelines.
any provisions of this?
Sure.
Questions? Well, 710. Because of 18. Choose what?
Which right above there. 71 D1A, I think it's just that
those have,
yeah, with the species. D1A is the requirement to give me something on the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to keep WDFW in there?
No.
I think science-based management strategies works great. Fine.
Just forget some things, species. Yeah. What significance does it necessarily mean for the idea of the plant?
Well, actually, science-based management is a strategy, plans and strategies. Because the strategies are different than a plan.
Right. A plan will include strategy.
Right.
Good.
Yeah.
So sometimes you don't have a full mat.
A plan to me is more site specific, I think about.
Okay.
And a strategy is just like these are the general requirements.
Yeah.
These are how you should protect this species.
Well, they can have a plan that kind of covers a large range. Management plan for a species, but then you have specific strategies within them that work in different areas, like flips both ways.
Yeah,
right.
So the strategy
depends on how the plan looks.
Yeah, ignore
that area.
I don't know, I think management strategies covers a wider range than management plan, but you could put plan and strategies both in there.
Yeah.
Just not one or the other.
Yeah, I know that both of them
actually. Plan and strategies?
Mm-hmm. Plan
or.
So she wants to spell out.
Coffee's been cooking good now. Aged.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You
know. Those are true points, but it's so hard to pin this down.
Yeah. I think I actually need some purpose intent of the law.
We get into a little minutia of this stuff.
Once you get into it, like, there's always something that's breeding while we're in, or vesting,
or something. Yeah.
And it's like, how do you...
You can't do anything. There's a butterfly. That's all nice. That would be something that could come out of like a management plan and strategy. You know, so key habitat sizes, 3/4 medium, minimum pad size, game snags and down bones or whatever. But it all kind of comes down to the species you're looking at and the kind of habitat. And that's why you bring in people like Vicky, does it? Just to make the frogs happy.
Everything's for the frogs, yeah.
How would you do? The thing is, you know, there was decisions basically of creating these laws that, you know, someone walking through the woods is going to have an impact. They can actually scare something off the nest, mm-hmm. and that could be bad. But are you really going to say no one can walk in the woods? Mm-hmm. That's not happening.
No.
You know, we're trying to avoid and minimize. It doesn't mean that those things aren't going to happen. And I know she has a big being involved about public access and trails and stuff, but the flip side of that is if people don't see it, they're really not going to value it.
Right.
So you can do things like salmon bloodworms or blood salmon, you know, like dogs are like, you there in Chico Creek, but you can also do, you know, okay, this is closed during this season. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, in the springtime, but
when do you get a permit for a salmon viewing platform? Like, I wonder with the engineered log jams, if they couldn't actually start just building decks on them in certain areas, just to provide a little bit of that.
Well,
I think the insurance liabilities would be just really scary. Yeah.
the ones we were talking about was if there's a buffer area, I mean, they come in on the trail, instead of having a trail along the creek, you come in on the thing, and then you're up above the fish and you look out from the bank, because otherwise it's just a forest in there. Mm-hmm. And that worked really good, actually, because you didn't have dogs going down the trail into the reds and stuff. And, they were likely to jump off the deck of the rail and stuff. So,
okay.
But, you know, seasonal closures, you know, you have to lock the gate.
Well, those are all things that we could consider as tools when we come up with our master kind of document. But I mean, there's a lot to be said for kind of also incentivizing things rather than just regulating the heck out of things. Because eventually, people just remove those species from their sites.
No, I know.
Yeah.
The design is actually helpful.
There's not a lot about the code that makes you want to have a wetland on your site or have a spotted owl or.
Right.
Becomes a huge liability.
Or turkey vulture.
Or turkey vulture, right.
This is back up a little bit, but Vicki, you'd actually have this comment back here in part two of the local species.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Inserting the Wildlife Advisory Committee.
Oh, right, for the procedures are there. And whether we want to call that or just an advisory committee. Because that goes back to your comment.
Mm-hmm. We have too many versions up there. Okay.
Join over here.
We'll be blocking anybody. Okay. Better viewing here.
Better viewing here. The VIP seat.
Yeah, I never can afford these things.
Where is that one? Number two.
Yeah, I think it was right there.
Did I just miss it?
Yeah. 14A1 as recommended by an advisory committee.
Oh, sorry, yeah, then.
I should maybe highlight that in green also.
Oh. Yeah. Where the. Okay. General standards. Okay. This question goes. What justification on the basis treat habitat and species different? What is 0.730? There are different standards for alterations.
Oh.
On case by case basis. But 16.16.730.
So Wendy was saying, why are there different standards for this than there are for the other protected species out of the CAO and habitats? Yeah, I don't know, other than maybe they were assuming that there was no guidance material.
From the non-PH.
Yeah, right, and so they needed to spell that out separately.
Yeah,
but
that makes sense.
Already sort of true with a lot of our PHS species anyway.
I figured this section would start out with referring to all the stuff above as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If in the case, not, can't follow the procedures above, probably.
In addition to, or if the standards
section whatever
720, the standards listed
do not apply or not apply or cannot be administered
or not applicable.
Cannot be administered.
Based on lack of information on species or something.
Expectation. Oh, you know. Mm-hmm. Indifference.
Thank you.
Lack of funding. Incompetence.
Dislike.
for political reasons. Couldn't do that.
Does that seem reasonable? I don't know if that's quite good English.
for other reasons. It's a little open-ended.
Yeah, for other reasons.
Any other reason?
What else would it be other than lack of information? Lack of information or lack of management strategies? Or lack of management
Which
strategies?
Which management strategies? Well, or you what might I would consider have, part of information. But
yeah, or you could have conflicting information in your cabinets or could you have to do something else?
Yeah. Lack of. I'll just leave it as lack of information, and if it's conflicting, then I don't know if this isn't going to clarify it. This procedure.
But you might have to do it. You have lack of information. Because
it goes back to trying to find information.
Yeah, right.
Is what it's kind of pointing to towards.
You can say lack of information is but a set, et cetera, because that's kind of related to that kind of thing, as opposed to being political.
Whim. But it all is.
The bidding is there, might be.
Yeah, standards listed in the assistant system county minister. Alterations that occur with him. That's a little more.
Yeah.
Sure,
just
leave it there.
Yeah.
Okay. Just knocking stuff out. Or Vicki comments. Down below. I'm going to close this. Sorry, I tried merging your comments with Wendy's.
Oh, okay.
Since they were, Wendy had the full critical areas ordinance, and Finner were just
dealing with that section.
I went way too far.
Okay, you're just being different.
At least it's not a Friday. Okay, so next comment, additional concerns regarding lack of standards, That was 1616 to 720B2. I'm not quite sure what she's.
What's the issue?
I'm not sure.
What is WNHP? The button.
Yeah.
WNHP. Oh, Washington National Heritage Program.
Oh.
Except for those are on DNR. Aren't they on DNR? For the heritage program?
Sure, is that?
Yeah. So then what? Is there any benefit of making them local, have that local employees?
For education purposes, it is.
Yeah. But for jurisdiction, you could have DNR does that has to get permits for docs and all that kind of stuff. So.
You're talking about like a DNR or what? What were you talking about with DNR?
Well, DNR had a habit of one of their heritage sites, and they wanted to put something in it. I'm not sure if the statute says that they have sole authority over that, or they putting in the platforms or trails or lights or whatever they want to put in there, or if the county could actually regulate it through the critical area ordinance.
Hmm. That's a good question. Stimson?
Well, state
Stimson is one where there's overlaps with multiple things there, but part of that is a natural area preserve.
Right.
Beaver ponds.
Lake leaves.
Oh.
Let's see, for shoreline stuff, it's clear that you can get shoreline prevented. Right?
Yeah.
It's a state or whatever, DOT gets on.
Right.
But on critical areas, I don't know what the applicability is there.
Mm-hmm. I think they still, if you were to put a trail or a pond or a dock or something in,
yeah,
they would still have to meet the critical area code.
Yeah, so let's say you found, okay, so Vicky spotted frog, not the organ spotted frog.
Vicky spotted
frog. And it was in, I guess, DNR site or upstate park.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to do something, it was going to trash it or whatever. County could require it, though. I guess county could require it. Review under CEPA,
yes.
And then mitigation or avoidance or whatever. So, does that make sense to this one? The heritage sites has a local importance.
Well, isn't the DNR natural heritage sites already, was that included further earlier on?
It listed already as a critical area.
Yeah.
Natural area preserves, aquatic reserves, and natural resource conservation areas.
Yeah.
Which are the DNR. So I don't know about
heritage
sites and what that actually denotes. What's a heritage?
I thought that just
they're historical. No. I think they're like plant communities.
Oh. Yeah, but these are
resource conservation areas.
That's what they heritage sites areas are broken down into the three that he just read. So I'm not sure if that designation, how it was referred to in there, which I still haven't found.
Heritage sites include what now? Can you say the intro?
It is
natural
area preserves, aquatic reserves, and natural resource conservation areas, as defined by Washington Department of Natural Resources. So those are all specific land designations that DNR has. I don't know if the heritage falls underneath one of those.
I think the Natural Heritage Program covers two of those, not the aquatic lands, but the natural area preserves and the
natural resource conservation
areas
of cultural significance for tribes.
Mm-hmm. Areas of cultural significance, it's just the tribes or the county could designate, you know, those like a cemetery or a battlefield or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's also areas in which state listed rare plants species are found or contain suitable habitat for some listed species as defined by natural Department of Natural Resources Natural Heritage Program.
Both
of them, so it all seems to be encompassing. That those are already areas that are listed as critical areas.
So they're covered.
Okay.
They're covered.
Right.
Yeah. All right, next comment.
You get to tell Wendy, though.
Deep-seated and all kinds of other.
Who's in our house?
Natural.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, I mean, from an insider perspective, I think most natural resource staff are not going to allow development in the buffer unless there's no other option.
Mm-hmm.
I think that 25% just doesn't allow them to go beyond that 25%.
Mm-hmm.
It's subject to all those criteria. So.
Comments.
thought that was part of the intent of grading in the dry season was to protect the aquatic wildlife in their sensitive periods.
The animals have, I can try. I can help with the lizards and stuff. You can trash their foot and you can run over by the bulldozers.
Well,
whether
it's
frogs?
Dry or wet.
Well, it's supposed to be water quality, I think. But it's,
yeah.
That's why there's the green light. It's water quality protection.
So,
which benefits aquatic critters. But I don't see it for most things that are near water. I don't see any disadvantage to that.
And it seems like this is just a restatement of something that's already in county code somewhere else. So
water resource special management area, that is there more than just...
No, I think those are three.
Was there
Drayton Harbor?
Yeah, Drayton Harbor.
I think they've got one over that.
Yeah,
or Birch Bay.
Shellfish stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the Portage.
Good. It's highlighted on number 6 there, but doesn't number 7 kind of cover that? No net loss of intertidal riparian habitat? That covers the other organisms that would be in there other than fish. In general, that's already addressed.
Yeah, it says riparian habitat function. No net loss, it's pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't somebody locking us in, was it?
Probably.
there's actually a place that says office number 8, which is the word, are not practicable, not sufficient. So,
what
is your definition of practicable?
Practicable,
fine. Yeah, feasible is a better one.
I think there was a lot of discussion about that also.
Yeah, well, but it's already defined and
demonstrated. Somebody just pick. We can get out.
Yeah,
please check.
We're
used to the deer.
Oh, my God.
They'll be crawling out the window.
No, it's 4:30. County's closed. I'm working overtime now.
Couple time.
Yeah, we gotta go quick.
Private trails, should I see important?
Because they still have to go through the avoidance and minimization sequencing before they get to number 4. So code's not gonna allow you to circle something without showing no net loss of function in there.
No, I thought that said 45 feet in width.
It does look like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to have some private legs.
Okay, you need.
There's not that many private legs that don't already have something
around them.
Concrete usually. Yeah. Someone's just wandering around them.
Yeah.
Written now, there's no net loss of wildlife habitat areas at all.
So that's it, they can't build, change anything.
But you got a loss, you just can't have a net loss.
Oh, that's true. But when it's all habitat to begin with.
So you make the example of that. Put a little pool down there.
It's interesting you put on-site sewage disposal systems in the outer 50% of the new state buffer.
Mm-hmm.
When there's no alternatives.
Yeah,
no alternatives.
That happens a lot.
You know, I don't think some water quality is substituted.
Because there's a few places you can usually cite one.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
More comments?
Black and white.
Yeah.
There has to be some ability for technical administrators to allow some flex.
Anybody else?
What is 1616-270? Is that reasonable use clause?
That's way back.
I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You can encroach into a buffer at the technical advisor's discretion.
Provided you go through this.
Provided you go through the reasonable use clause, which is basically through the mitigation sequence.
Right.
Basically, you don't have anything else that you can do on your land anywhere else.
That's interesting for reasonable use. So in some cases, reasonable use is just going to be recreational use.
It's usually tied to what it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually tied to land use.
Yeah.
Zoning.
That's what the hearings were. These was a point that I underscored that. Don't think, you know, they try to get every single family residence okay, but
mm-hmm.
some people bought part of a beach.
Oh,
like,
oh right.
One over in Kitsap County, and they're saying, well, that's our reasonable use. And then the court said, basically, your reasonable use is use it for recreation because you're cool.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of that down on the river.
Yeah.
Floodplains further up the river where there's consistent bank erosion and
channel
shifting and like, it's like, no, you're not going to build a structure there. You can own that property,
right.
You can go
camping.
You can put a trailer on it and, you know, move it in and out,
right.
But you can't build a structure on it. It's
right.
A recreational property.
Right. So that, you know, that's limiting that. Use of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. These are the exceptions.
Is it
not very entertaining as a movie as well.
No. Can we see the rest of the...
Yeah, there's nothing compared to agricultural stuff. No, because no, on the exemptions spell out the agricultural activities that
mm-hmm.
And those are defined in the shoreline program.
Well, isn't this a similar issue that's probably here because it doesn't have the same amount of information about them that other PHS mm-hmm. listed species would have, so they tried to call it out and address it slightly differently. I don't think it's the same one. I think it's we addressed a similar thing up above, but I think it's
no, it's the same one. It's 7:30. This is my fault for going back and forth.
Thank you, just quit, eh?
I think my own brain is slowing down here. Yeah, I think we already covered that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, this is always the standard issue, like too much discretion, not enough discretion by the local staff. You gotta have some.
There has to be some.
Yeah, otherwise you just get stuck in things and nothing works.
Yeah, and there was, through this whole process, I think there was a lot of sections that the discretion got filled out
mm-hmm.
and made it more definitive for staff mm-hmm. about how to deal with business areas.
Right.
But yeah, there's still gotta be.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a one-off scenario where it doesn't fit in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have the willingness and the ability to manipulate, push the code around a little bit
right.
to allow you to do something that has some cover.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the same people come and say, you know, it's got to be black and white. Get your lasers. Yeah.
Well,
you don't agree with that black and white, then they go, okay, don't you have any discretion?
So
what is she after here? Let's see.
This comment is attached to best available information regarding buffers. So, not appropriate GMA concept.
Is she saying it should be changed to best available science there, or?
That's what it seems like she's saying.
She's saying a precautionary or no risk approach.
Where is the, let me see where she's having to it.
Yeah,
that's all. That's why.
Adaptive management.
What is, what is suggesting we do there? Or is she just calling out what information means?
Lack of information.
Because it says criteria for addressing inadequate scientific information.
She's basically calling out that WDFW doesn't have. So here's the buffer requirements as they currently stand.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you had a comment on here. There's a natural pond.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was somewhere it was defined, because it's specifically, I'm assuming artificial is the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody will ask for that definition somewhere down the road.
Our definition somewhere.
So this is where the locally important species part hits the road. Certain local, I don't have local experts in here anywhere.
Well, but they're coordinating with these different agencies too. So I don't know if that's, local experts really make sense, but you're coordinating with them.
Local experts would still be,
but could add that.
You say it may use the PHS management recommendations. Better local experts.
Yeah.
Management can have the local and local expert recommendations, something like that.
Seem good. Okay. Any other things you want to get here?
No.
Okay, let's see. I'm editing the right one. So that was, sorry, this mouse is terrible. Use of administrative discretion. You comment on the buffer ratio?
That's been the standard for a very long time.
Just learned today that King County's developing a ag kind of mitigation program that has a 4-to-1 ratio. So for every 1 acre they develop, they have to protect 4 acres of ag.
Wow. Well, certainly wetlands have that kind of ratio going on for the buffers. It's typically done just a 1-to-1. But their intent is to protect the function. potentially that would require either a whole watershed review for something, or it's not feasible or practical for a typical small project. Yeah. I think she's trying to say that the review should not just focus on the actual
HCA
and
the cumulative impact.
A larger geographic area, which could be a watershed, or potential migration movement of HCA.
Where do you set the line? How far? A mile? A quarter mile? 10 miles?
Yeah. It's always hard.
I think if you go with HCA and the buffer, the largest buffer, that's about the best you could do.
Yeah.
Okay, let's leave that to
I would agree.
Yeah.
I mean, from what she's explaining, or what the way the code reads, it says if there's, what's the thing? More likely than not to contain a habitat conservation area or buffer. And this is the trigger for whether CAO review needs to be done.
Right.
So it's like, you look at a map and you say, oh, we've got something fairly close, you're going to have to do a CAO review, hire a qualified biologist, and go out there and do an initial assessment.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then from that initial assessment, it says, okay, well, there is or there isn't. If there is, HCA or within a buffer, then you need a full on CAO report.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, wander around because it actually is not the same.
So, yeah, exactly. You're an upland area and there's not really any impacts to wetlands or stream or buffers or anything like that. So, probably pretty good to go. But so, I don't know how else would you. To broaden the scope, you would just have to, you would always. On everything, you would just
put out a review. An HCA within 5 miles.
Right.
Okay.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah, right. Right. So,
of course,
or within the sub-basin or whatever, and it would just...
It would trigger that every land use decision.
Pretty much everyone is triggered anyway right now. But
pretty much.
Yeah, but...
See, it was in a stone's throw. Who's throwing the stone?
Yeah. Well, right now they're going outside the stone's throw, I think.
Yeah.
In general, I mean, just large buffers for 300 feet.
So bald eagle habitats be protected.
Mm-hmm.
Coordination with between the WDFW and the landowner.
You're not doing that anymore.
No, we don't do that. That's a federal thing.
So U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is all eagles.
Between the.
But if you call them, they say,
U.S.
Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah. That's our stock answer at this point, is call U.S. Fish and Wildlife. They've taken over authority for that.
Oh, okay.
And they say, what do you want to do? I don't have any staff to be down there.
There's one guy.
Okay. Okay. The wrong one again.
Did Federer put comment on that?
I thought I saw that comment somewhere.
I would think that you, because he did.
Unless it was when we were dealing with it with a cop plan.
Okay, one comment on here about the eagle. Why is that not highlighting for me?
It's got a different highlight on there already.
Could be. The track changes things, really screws it up.
There's a lot of changes.
Yeah. Thinner.
Oh, yeah. Right there.
Okay. I think that is it for Vicki and Finner. Wendy. This is relevant. That's a little bit outside. guys have any thoughts on that?
Not really.
It kind of seems a little bit beyond the mitigation.
I see it. It is written a little looser than sequencing.
Looking at the compensatory mitigation.
Yeah. For the wetlands, it's written a little looser, but you're dealing with a lot of more variables.
Mm-hmm. Well, use that word feasible, it's maybe use the definition on the shoreline. They're talking about feasibility, feasible location, as well, that are really defined.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I feel comfortable with that. She had a problem with the discretion again?
Yeah.
Mitigation sequencing.
Okay.
Remove the watershed mitigation.
I think that's because of banks. Always the least preferred.
I don't know much about mitigation sequencing. Do you have any thoughts on that? Or?
That's consistent with the state and the federal agencies as well. If you're going to mitigate something, you provide a buffer, you can't encumber the next landowner over for that. You can't extend, if you do mitigation on one site, the buffer you
can't
provide can't right. extend onto the next site. You have to internally buffer
right.
your project.
And if you can't provide a large enough buffer, then you do have to fit into screen or do something, put a dirt
or go off site and find right. a different spot. Yeah, it might not have been appropriate in the first place.
You know, sometimes put a bigger earthen berm in, and that actually provides a better buffer than a lot of vegetation as far as sound or
oh, yeah, right.
light.
As long as it doesn't interfere hydrology. It was for the buffer, a 1-to-1 replacement.
Mm-hmm.
For buffer reduction?
Yeah, and so 1.25. Which is kind of consistent with sometimes the core. When they're using out of kind of things, they throw that number around.
Mm.
I don't know where it comes from.
The ratios?
Well, I know where in general the ratios come from, but that 1.25, the Corps of Engineers uses that for mitigation ratios for some out of kind, weird situations. Paper buffers and indirect impacts and things like that. That number is thrown around.
Yeah, it also kind of includes for temporal loss.
Yeah, they all include part of that, but why that particular one keeps coming up, I don't know. Why or but it's fairly consistent with other.
I will ask folks. You know, reviewed all the stuff. I'll be able to find the original stuff. So if the census has been changed, the ratios are.
Well, and this is for non-wetland things.
Okay.
This is for the HCA areas. Yeah, so they've kind of taken some of the wetland concepts and moved them
right.
over here.
Stick with that for now.
Yeah, right. Unless there's something.
Mitigation ratio for
Alpha
Pass.
Okay, well, I'll...
Is that it?
I'll compile all of our comments as they currently stand.
Okay.
Article 7, and we will require a quorum to actually approve those. Then, yeah, it'd probably be great to ship that off and get back into the
right.
report.
And
the timing-wise, we're in pretty good shape. Cause
yeah, we're ahead of the curve on the CAO.
Yeah. We haven't started this stuff.
I just finished up Planning Commission.
Good.
That was
a good job.
I had the council before August, though.
Right.
So I don't even, probably doesn't even make sense to submit the comments too early. Council is going to be stuck in comp plan land for
that's true.
Another month.
Their heads aren't going to be wanting to dive into this.
So even maybe after they actually approve our committee extension, we could submit the comments the next day.
Right.
They'll be thinking about us.
Take summer off.
Yeah.
Do you have a question?
I was just going to say, I'm going to be gone this next month, so as we're looking at scheduling for next.
Yeah, I'm
going to
be gone this next month.
July might be tough.
Good.
Oh, okay.
I already told you.
So, you guys want to shoot for a month out or 2 weeks out?
Well,
I mean, I can...
A month out. So, what are the tasks? I mean, we're trying to get this code stuff done and the comp plan and code stuff is pretty much done with right now.
We're done with the comp plan, and if we get all this approved, then we're done with the CAO.
Right.
I mean, I think Wendy's preference is that we go back deeper in the CAO and actually look at different articles.
I don't think for this committee.
I mean, for individually, if you want to look into that,
that's
there are some interesting things
comments.
In there. But I think this is.
She will. As a citizen.
Sure, he has.
That's fine.
Yeah, so we'll work with that at our next meeting.
And then diving back into the existing condition.
Yeah.
Right?
In the meantime, I'll just probably start back where I left off and try to start up email correspondence again. And we aim for a month from now.
Let's go look at some of that we
got. We can have our next meeting in the field.
Now's the time.
There you go.
So it'd be the third week in July.
Which is the 18th.
You guys have any preferences?
I know that I have placeholders on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for a 5-hour meeting on one of those days. I just put a Google poll out today. So I'm not sure where that I can revise it.
Mondays?
I think Monday was the preference, or I guess Thursday.
But you had a
I have a maybe, yeah.
Monday or Friday? Or
33% chance.
Probably a better chance than that. There's two times per day.
Oh.
Hold up. I didn't have anything scheduled on those days, so I just said, okay, I'm on weekday.
We could do the following week too. I'm pretty open. I don't know, Barry, if you have a...
I'm actually pretty good right now, as far as I know, until I talk to my
wife. You just want to aim for Monday the 18th?
That actually works fine.
That sounds fine.
You guys want to do a 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock?
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock okay for you, everyone?
Yeah,
it's great for me. I'm not there. No. Yeah, floating around out there.
All right, so we got 2 to 4 on Monday the 18th.
I guess it's
is this a full committee too, or is there a tech committee?
Well,
that's a good question.
This is the bummer of not having a quorum today.
I know.
We could have had a quorum today, we could have voted on it and taken a full committee break.
But we could do is circulate the comments to everyone and say, okay.
Well, I mean, it could also be a good opportunity to have a full committee, because we haven't had, like, Guy hasn't been here in a long time.
Yeah.
It could basically just present where we're at with the existing ecosystem report to the whole committee and just talk through it. Look at the map a little more. I can try to have some maps ready to go by then.
But not go back to try to get these recommendations approved on the CEO?
Well, that would be the first thing, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Get that approved.
I just get it done.
And the minutes approved.
We need a minute for discussion on the CEO, stuff, and not dive back into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Really give it like 10 minutes worth of discussion and then approve or disapprove what's been done. Because without that, it's going to...
regurgitate.
Particularly.
Yes.
Right. And it's like they had two... I mean, they had opportunities to come and talk about it, so...
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you do need to make sure you get those comments
get
out
so
they can see them.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I'll get that sent out probably by tomorrow, if not tomorrow, the next day. It's also not the placeholder for the meeting. So, thanks everybody.
Yeah, thank you.